Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Podcart podcast. This episode does come with a content warning. There will be discussions surrounding suicide, mental health, including depression, anxiety, and panic. Some of the discussion may also be emotionally challenging. Please note that we will have a list of organisations to accompany this podcast on our site, and if you're feeling in any way vulnerable, please remember there's always someone to listen and talk to.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to Podcart and welcome to a revisit to, I guess, one of my favourite bands. I'm saying that as if I'm questioning that. That's not good.
Maybe.
Already.
Surely there's somebody better.
James Graham is joining me once again. Thank you so much.
Afternoon. Thank you for asking me back.
I'm really humbled that you've agreed to do this again because...
I enjoyed it last
time. Did you?
Yeah. Did it not seem like it?
Well, I never know because it's such... I don't know. I never know if people enjoy it.
I don't know if there's a lot of music podcasts. Well, maybe there is and they just don't ask me to do it, but I quite enjoy sitting down and I listen to a lot of them, so
yeah.
I thought, I've got a lot of shite I can chat, so...
Yeah. Because I'd obviously... the last time I saw you was in a field at Wolf for the Cure.
Yeah, in the middle of London. On a really cold day, hot day.
Oh my God, that was brutal, how hot it was.
I think it was 32 degrees when we were playing or something.
Yeah. Once again, the last time that we spoke was in 2016 and you'd picked six songs, and you've picked another six, and I'd asked you to kind of maybe look at more recently what you've been going back to and so on.
And it's quite weird for me because I was trying to pick and I was like, oh, that's a pick in a playlist kind of type thing without Mogwai, without The Cure, without Arab Strap. Feels quite alien to me. I know because I probably do that all the time, but they generally are the things that I love. So it was like trying to kind of come from it from a different angle and like topics of conversation, I suppose.
So I've listened to this twice and I've cried both times, the track listing.
So you're giving everybody a pre-warning before? So that brace yourself, strap yourself down, do not place your hands and arms outside the vehicle.
It's an amazing playlist though. You're the first person to pick Sufjan Stevens, which one of my favourite artists of all time, and I'm so glad that someone's picking
him. I'm the first.
You're the first. It's been quite a 2 years. A lot's happened. You've given a first taster of what's to come with the new record. There's been notable things that have happened. There's been a birth, a death. Have you been married? You got married in that time as well, didn't you?
Yes, I definitely did. that was March of... It was the weekend, the BBC Six Music Festival.
Right.
I was here. The weather was amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody feels sorry for her. She's got me to put up with.
But you've got a beautiful new son as well,
yeah,
which who I want to talk about later as well.
Yeah, far more interesting than me.
He's beautiful. Interpol, you've picked Untitled as one of the songs, and I know that when we actually bumped into you when Interpol were playing down in London.
Yeah, I haven't actually, the song I've picked, I have never seen them play it live.
Really?
It's one of these bands, again, that the amount of times that they've played Glasgow, we've been away. So that's been quite frustrating. I think the only time I saw them in Glasgow was at the Academy on the Antics tour. They didn't play it. But I picked this one because I was in the car the other day and my phone had kind of erased a lot of the stuff off my iTunes. I'll put this one again. It's an album that I always kind of tend to come back to, but I hadn't come back to it for a wee while actually. And it reminded me of a time where I got really excited about music. Not that I don't get excited about it now, it's just that there's not a lot of stuff that comes along now that just kind of stops me in my tracks. I remember driving to a job that I really hated all the time with this album playing, and it just gave me that feeling again.
Thank you.
Like, I really was kind of craving to feel really excited about something again. It's weird getting excited about something that's in the past, I suppose. Yeah. But it kind of jolted loads of memories in my head. And what I've been trying to listen to recently is loads of things that bring back good or bad memories. Mammaries. There's a different topic of conversation. Fucking hell. It's not going to be that depressing, this to it. I've been trying to find stuff just because sometimes you can get so caught up in yourself and you're just constantly thinking about the next thing, constantly thinking about what's happening, what can I do next, what can I do there. You don't reflect as much as you possibly should, and I decided that I really needed to start go through my head and think about what's important.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a song that when it came about was so important to me that it was one of the influences why I started really writing the way that I did and why I started writing music, to be honest. So it was like, right, I need to start looking through my head again and finding those songs that bring back those feelings, because I haven't been listening to the music too much. So that's why I was like, right, I'm not going to go and search for something that I don't know if I'll find. These are the things that I know that will affect me. So I've been kind of...
I was listening back to the first podcast that we did, and you were obviously talking about Andy and how much music that he did, you know, Arab Strap handing you, yeah, and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, he really has had a significant impact on your life.
Oh, yeah, he's shaped... It's his fault why I'm here. he's shaped the way... He hasn't, like, force-fed me anything. He's always like, oh, I think you might like that. I think you might like that. And I think, but secretly, I think he knows that, obviously knows that I like it. But we still do that. Like, see, when we're writing and stuff like that, he'll send me a playlist of going, this is what I'm thinking about. This is the kind of music that I'm listening to just now. And I haven't always got into the stuff that he gets, because he goes quite obscure. His musical knowledge is ridiculous. Like, he's went back the way instead of going forward, which, yeah, is actually more interesting, to be honest. And he really studies it instead of, like, people who just... I've met some bands, I'm like, have you listened to this? I'm like, oh, I've never listened to that. And I'm like, well, that should be a record that everybody's heard if you're going to write music. Whereas Andy's, you've got it, like, it's like, I suppose, having an education in it. He's got the... He really, like, looked... studied it, really, yeah, to be honest. And I wouldn't say that I'm as I've got the attention span to do as much as that, but he has, I suppose, drip fed me some stuff. And
you seem to be more about the experience of the music.
Yeah, it's got to make me feel something, whereas he's quite, yeah, technical, yeah, and that kind of stuff. And I know that he definitely doesn't veer towards the emotion as much as I do, but he's still in there.
You and know, that's what I was going to ask you, because I think that's probably why you guys work so well together, is that you are clearly quite an emotional person.
Rick.
But he's almost like a sociopath.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's funny, like, how, like, because we are still like best friends, and it's quite interesting because we are quite different from each other, but we have the same, I think we have the same kind of core beliefs about stuff, and kind of hopefully we've definitely got a lot of respect for each other as well, and the differences are good things. You know, sometimes differences can be quite bad, but these differences are amazing, and that, I think, that's probably something everybody should look into. Just because something's different doesn't mean that's a negative thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually can be have a profound positive effect on your life. And
moving on to someone else that's obviously quite a lot of presence in your life now, and it's Catherine Joseph. Outlines, you are part of a group with her now. Mm-hmm. But
a superb group.
Yeah.
Instead of a super group, a superb group. I'll leave that to everybody else's judgment.
Well, congratulations on the SAY Awards shortlist as well. I know a lot of people don't give a shit about awards and stuff, but
it's a weird one. It's like, it's really nice, but then, like, I'm really very grateful because it's given the album a chance to for more people hear it.
Yeah.
And then that's the main thing about it. Winning awards and stuff like that wasn't what it was written,
yeah,
for, but like if the nomination helps more people hear it, then that's that's brilliant. I'm happy for everybody involved with it. Like Catherine's
already won it.
So it's like, I said that to her today. I was like, well, no chance we're fucking winning it because you've already won it. But it's really nice to be amongst all those other albums. It's like there's the blanket thing to be able to say when things like that happen. Oh, it's esteemed to be amongst all these beautiful Scottish artists and all that. It's like, and it's true. But I'm getting to this point, like even getting long listed on it was for me. I was like, oh, that's enough. I
don't, yeah, it's a nod.
It's like if somebody sees what it is and then reads into what it's about and where it came from. From just seeing it on a list or something, then that's cool. But I'm happy for the Rock Action more than anything, to be honest, because they took a punt on it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'll talk about Rock Action soon, but you said some interesting things about getting to know her as a person and how that kind of almost augments the experience of her music. What's it been like getting to know Catherine and working with her and just even listening to her as an artist?
So we didn't know each other before we started the Outlines kind of project. I knew of her, I knew the record, I know Marcus and Claire who put out the record, been had a long friendship with them. And so we met at Platform the day we were interviewing people from Easterhouse. It was, to be honest, it was pretty instant. We said hello. We started having a laugh with each other, and I was just instantly like, "Well, I'm not somebody who makes assumptions or goes, oh, but instantly I was like, fuck, this person seems like we kind of get each other and where we're coming from.
We had it down. And now we
nothing to do with music, just having a laugh and talking rubbish with each other. But then you get into the whole writing and recording and sitting watching somebody like perform, and it just every time you take that next step with it, it just became more apparent like how special, not just the music, but how special she was as well, and how the way that she carries herself with her music as well is a beautiful thing. There's no false pretense or ego or anything. I think getting to know Catherine as a person is and who she is, and having her music side by side for me about why as an artist she is that important, because she's got stories to tell as well, and yeah, they're heartbreaking, but that's the way that she deals, the way that she presents that is such a beautiful thing. And I don't know, I feel very, very lucky that one, she said yes, she wanted to work with me, and two, just to even just be a friend in her. Like, I don't know, she just seems, and like the fact that things are really, more people are getting to know her, and more people are kind of just discovering how fucking brilliant she is.
Yeah. But the album, in terms of a body of work, it's an incredible album, and it's one of the finest things that's come out of Scotland for, I think, in forever. But yeah. So Rock Action itself and Catherine coming onto the label and yourselves, they've really created a fantastic new breath of fresh air for Scottish music. And it must be something quite, I guess, satisfying in that. Do you feel that you genuinely are part of a fantastic family now?
I mean, because I've worked there for a long time, I've always felt like I have been part of it, and it's always been a bit of a dream of mine to be able to release on them. And I think with the Outlines thing, that was the first kind of step, and it was like they didn't need to do that, just because I worked there and they're friends with me, and they didn't take it on because of that either. They understood what it was all about, and they like that was the first step, and it was just like, yeah, that's I feel like we've achieved something together. To be even just part of that was not just I was never just an employee, but just like to physically see her, have my name as somebody and an artist in that was quite a big thing for me.
Slow Dive.
I picked this for a few reasons. The first one is I genuinely love that new record. I think it's amazing. And getting to know Rachel was a really cool thing, because I was a big fan before, and then I did Minor Victories with Stuart, asked me to sing a song with her, and so to me that was like again, this is me going back again and thinking about important things that happened to me, and I don't know if they realised how important that was to me, that I would, or a really kind of cool thing was to get to sing with somebody you'd listened to for years, and like had again really influenced what you'd done. Thank you. some sort of duet was just like, oh, like doing it in the studio. Like Stuart had phoned me the night before saying, do you want to come in and do this? I was like, aye. So then coming in and doing it and just being constantly going, is this happening? This is weird. Like, am I imagining that I'm getting to sing in this song with Stuart and like and that whole project was, and I got to do it live with him. So I've been thinking about to that and how much I enjoyed that,
mm-hmm.
and how much I'd love to do stuff like that again in the future, like with like collaborate. That I think that was start of a kind of thinking about collaborating and stuff like that with people, which I'd never really thought about doing.
That was something I wanted to ask you. I mean, during the first times that you have been collaborating, is it, I mean, what are the nerves like when you're removing yourself from that, you know, your initial kind of bit, like Andy, I guess, and the rest of your band?
That is nerve-wracking, but I'm nervous without a doubt, like 100%. But then I talk myself down. If you know what I mean, I talk like going, right, rationalise this for yourself, James. You've been asked to do it for a reason. They obviously think you're capable, and all you can do is do what you do and bring what your attributes to the table. And if it's good enough, it's good enough. If it's not. There's nothing I can do. So I've been trying to, when that happens, I try to tell myself that. I mean, 90% I'm going, not listening to myself at all, but that 10% kind of makes me think about that. So I kind of just go, well, I'll try my best.
Mm-hmm.
And if it works out, then it works out. If it doesn't, then there's nothing else I could have done.
And your fans, we were talking during the break. I mean, the way that you are with your fans is unbelievable. I mean, there's that real kind of, it's like they're on par with you. There's no snobbery there or anything, and I think that's kind of really what has made, well, part of the reason they're so committed to you and the band, obviously. And the fan club, they are so tight as a group of people, and they are so loyal, and they'll obviously travel around. I know there's this thing, and we always speak about it in Scotland and the west of Scotland, is that when someone praises you, it's just like, it's almost embarrassment, or like, it's fine, thanks so much. Do you still get that when you've got these people constantly praising you?
I think that's an inbuilt thing. And I think the, like, to a point they've started to, like, people that like her, but that the group, like the there's the Facebook group and there's the Twitter, and we're in contact with the guys that, like, because manage the page and stuff like that. I think they kind of know who we are now as well, like as people, and we know who they are, and there's a barrier that's maybe not there that maybe might be with other bands and people that like them. I see bands like have fan clubs and all that kind of stuff, and I don't like that. Like, everybody's on the same level, you mm-hmm. know. Like, we write the music, we are a band, but we're just people at the mm-hmm. same time, you know. And like, and it's a case of like we're all getting in the same room for the same reason, you know. Like, we're getting into play because we enjoy playing. The people that come to see us enjoy our music. There should be no barrier between. They should be all doing it together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's something really nice about seeing a familiar face wherever you go. Like, if you're traveling around and there's somebody, you could be in the middle of nowhere, and not the middle of nowhere, but somewhere that you don't really know anybody, and then it's your second time there, and you met that person from the last time, and there's a connection there, and it's quite nice to have connections everywhere you go.
Thank you.
inside my firefly. What could I have said to raise you from the dead? Oh, could I be the sky on the 4th of July? Well, you do enough talk, my little hawk. Why do you cry? Tell me, what did you learn from the Tillamook burn or the 4th of July? We're all gonna die.
Okay, Sufjan Stevens and 4th of July. So we were saying that we were both at the Edinburgh gig, which was, for anyone that wasn't there, it was almost this window effect from the show on the stage, and him in solitary for quite a lot of it on, you know, at points playing by himself. And the album, again, is to do with his mother, who he didn't really have much of a relationship with, and she died of stomach cancer, I think it was 2012. And that song, the album as a whole is unbelievable,
yeah,
but that...
it's like this central moment of it.
So, that song.
Yeah, I always veer towards the heavy hitting kind of songs that make you question everything and life and like death and all that kind of stuff. And musically, I think it's perfect. To me, if I could ever write a song like that, then I don't think I could, to be honest. But it's just perfect. And it's like, I listened to the record and I was like, oh man, this is great. Like every song, you're like, wow, this is it. And then, whoa, there you go.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear something, you're like, that's going to stick with me. That's going to be with me forever. This is not going to be the first time and last time it's not going to be the last time I listen to this. It's going to be the first time because I can't go back in time. Maybe one day. Definitely, I think I said that was my favourite record that year that it came out. And I gave it to Brendan, and Brendan was just like, he feels the exact same way about it. And then when that gig came up, we were like, right, we need to go to that. And we bought tickets, and I got an extra ticket. And my dad wasn't busy that night, and he'd liked the Illinois record.
Yeah.
I think I loved that record as well, but I don't know, really know what he was going to expect, to be honest. And so I went, Hannah came with me.
Hannah's your
yeah,
wife.
Yeah, my wife, yeah, sorry. And I was sitting with her, but Brendan and my dad's seats were further away from us. So they went and they were away from us, and I think we both came. I quite liked that they weren't right beside us either, because I was a bawling mess at one point. I think it's the only gig that's ever made me cry, to be honest. Not that I'm like, oh yeah, no fucking crying. I cried at a gig before, and that got me. But then we came out after it, and then it was like a case of a vilification of one. Was that as good as I thought it was? as it was. And they were just like, yeah, that was a rare manager was there as well, and everybody was just blown away by it. But I've been going back to listen to that album as well, just, I don't know, been thinking a lot about why for a lot of things.
So one of the things that we have to talk about, and things are probably going to get quite deep now, is obviously Scott. Yeah. And Scott's death. So, is this an album that you've kind of revisited because of that as well?
I think because I knew how it made me feel at the time when I listened to it, and I felt I didn't actually know the subject matter of the record before, like, until I kind of looked into it. I just listened to it as a record that I really liked. Sometimes I don't even ever look into it, but I was like, well, somebody told me actually, and I went back and I listened to it, and it made even more sense. Yeah, I suppose it was in a way of like knowing that made me feel really, like we were talking there when the song was playing, and it was like, why do you listen to songs that can like make you even sadder and stuff like that? But it's because it made me feel something.
Yeah.
You know? And I've been kind of doing that quite a lot, like going to find, because I've been feeling quite numb about some stuff, like just... So I was like, right, nah, I want to feel this. I think because the numbness actually made me feel worse, and being like, why am I feeling like that? So I was like looking to torture myself in a way to get some sort of emotion. And so I was like, well, what can do that to me? And I was like, well, this album can do that to me. This album can do that to me. It was a good thing for me to do that. So that's why, yeah. I listened to this, and it just made me think about stuff, and I wanted to think about stuff. Now, sometimes you can, what if something like what's happened, you can try and run away from it.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I saw Grant, and I was like, he's tackling everything like head on, and he's telling me like what he's doing about stuff. I'm not obviously going into saying what he's doing, but he was really going, well, I'm going to have to go through this at some point. Why would I delay that? And the feeling of me feeling pretty numb about stuff was really scary, and I was like, no, I want to feel sad, you know, because I knew I was sad, so that's why I started listening to stuff that was, well, I mean, I always listen to stuff like this anyway. Do you know what I mean? But I wasn't listening to music, but so I was like, right, I need to actually feel something.
Yeah, it does amplify things to a point that it's that catharsis and that grieving process for you through the music.
And I think I kind of see why people, when people maybe send me messages about our music and how that affects them, I can actually see that.
Do you get many stories from your fans as well, telling you how your music saved them or it's helped them through? And
yeah, I think people find it. The message usually starts with, "I don't know if you'll ever see this."
Yeah, you always write it as a fan.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll ever see this, and you don't have to like. And I expect you'll never get a reply from that. And I get quite a buzz actually from going, "Hello, it's me, James." Just knowing that even a small reply can brighten somebody's day a bit. Because I know how I would feel if I wrote to Sufjan Stevens and said, "By the way, this song has helped me get through today."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And if you go back, even just saying, "Oh, cool, thank you," I'd be like, "What?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, Sufjan Stevens got back to me." So knowing that you can do that improves my day as well, actually, yeah. To be honest. It's hard to read, to be honest, a lot of the time. But the fact that somebody has sat there and put that down in words and pressed send, probably hovered over that send button a million times, you know, like, that's why when we were talking about during the song as well, about being quite flippant about stuff, like you can be quite lost in when you're in amongst touring an album or making an album or something like that, you become numb to what it's all about actually at some points, because you're like cycle, right, you're up, you're doing this, right, you're up doing, and then the hour and a half you're on stage is the one kind of let off, and then you're doing it again and you're doing it again. You can become, the hour and a half on stage is the relief, but everything else you can become numb to, I suppose, a little bit. So reading if somebody's wrote to you and poured their heart out to you about your music really opens up, goes, right, well, that's what it's all about. To see the reason that I do this reflected from somebody else's, in somebody else's words, is the reason that I'm still doing it, I think, because some days, especially recently, I'm like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Like, because if you think about it, I've been thinking about it, going, why was Scott doing it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So sorry. I'm drunk, I'm
love and I won't find love in our home. It takes more than fucking someone to keep yourself warm. You won't find love in you won't find love in our home. It takes more than fucking someone to keep yourself safe in the dark.
Really know even where to start, to be honest.
Sorry, because there's not really anywhere else. But I've come to that what we're doing the now is a good thing, and we should talk about the positives and stuff like that. Obviously, it's fucking horrible, and it's going to be hard to talk about and stuff like that. It's worse to not talk about it. You know.
Where were you when you found out about it?
Well, this is so on May the 6th, Arthur was born, my son, and then on, was it Tuesday or the, it's a bit of a blur, but it was like 2 days after it that we found that Scott was missing and stuff like that, and then we all know what happened. So I was in the house with feeding Arthur at half five in the morning, and Grant texted me. So that was quite a very, I don't know how to process that, to be honest. To have life and death slap you around the face within this period of 2 to 3 days was, I don't even really have any words for that, to be honest. But the reason that I've been able to get through it is because I've had a focus in this wee guy that kind of needs me, so yeah.
Had you experienced Scott during his kind of worst moments of depression?
No. We always, when we were with each other, had fun. Like, we would talk about important things, like obviously what Scott and I do is get our feelings out within our music, and that was stuff we spoke about when we spoke about what songs were about and all that kind of stuff. And it was great to have somebody to bounce off of like that, you know. But
when we were together, it was kind of celebratory, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, we would hang out. We didn't get to hang out as much as we possibly liked to, because either he was on tour or I was on tour. And but when we did get the opportunity, we'd go out together and do, just go out, go to the pub or do stupid things together. So there wasn't like that darkness maybe wasn't there as much as it was with with other people. Like I didn't get to see that side as much. We spoke about it,
mm-hmm.
but when we were together, we were friends having a laugh.
Yeah.
So when we were together, we were happy. So.
And I remember on the last podcast, you'd touched on times that you'd not felt yourself, or you'd felt really low, but you didn't really go into it. And when I'd met you at Hyde Park and you said, I really want to do a podcast and I want to talk about this and so on, I was quite taken aback, because I guess I didn't... Sometimes you don't really want to push someone to do something, or you don't feel it's your place. You sometimes feel that you're prying, but like you say, this is a really important thing. When you've had those low moments in your life, how has it kind of manifested itself?
A few things there is, I don't know if talking about it is the right or the wrong thing, because I'm definitely not an expert in stuff, but I could see Grant going out and talking about stuff, and I think it's also important for me to try and share the really important happy memories of Scott, you know. I've been kind of toying with my head. There's lots of stuff I'm going to keep to myself, because they're my memories.
Yeah.
They're not anybody else's.
Yeah.
And they'll stay mine. But I don't know, even though if me talking to you doing this is the right or wrong thing, but it does feel like it's important. I think what I've learned from my own experiences is better to talk about the stuff and keep it fucking bottled down inside, you know, because it can burn away at you that way. So I think that's why I said to you I'd like to talk, you know. So
yeah, because male suicide obviously is so horrific in terms of the figures and so on, and I mean, mental health, depression, everything is something that I kind of deal with, but I work with and like do voluntary stuff in the background and so on. But you say, it is very difficult to sometimes, you can't talk about it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't talk to your friends because you're almost embarrassed, or there's a pride thing. And it's easier to maybe talk to a stranger or write it down. But sometimes you feel like you're putting this burden on those around you.
Yeah.
So it's really quite hard to explain. You have been quite open with your emotion on stage now, because you keep yourself warm. You have been singing as part of your sets. And was that the way that you could almost pay tribute to him, or keep part of his memory alive?
Yeah,
I guess.
I think more of that. Yeah, I think because we started to rehearse, because we had those gigs at the end of May, and I think we realised it was planned to rehearse. We could have cancelled that and stuff, but we needed to get in. I think we needed to do it for nothing to do with needing to do it, because we were booked to do it. We needed to get in a room together, to be together. And Seb, who drums with us now, was also one of Scott's really good friends. So I felt that we needed to be in a room playing music, because that was a connection for everybody, you know. And then before we went in, I was thinking about Scottish music, and it's going to live on for forever anyway, and people are going to share and talk about it forever, you know.
What are some of your really fond memories of him?
Just that stupid laugh at you, to be honest. Just constantly being blown away by something that he probably thought was like his drawings and stuff like that he just did on a whim sometimes, and looking at it and going, fucking hell, that is, how did you do that? Like, but I think there's loads of memories from different periods. But I think the initial period when we got to know each other, when Andy and I would just go round to his house, his flat. Like the one time we went round his flat when it was his bed sit, he was just sitting with his acoustic guitar. Now Andy and I cringe at the fact of thinking about people getting an acoustic guitar out and playing songs to each other. We would much rather you smash the guitar over my head than do that. Scott and I had been at many a house party, and there's people pulled out an acoustic guitar and started playing, that we just went into the kitchen and drank all their drinks, because we were just like, and called them dicks the whole time. Like, there was so many like opportunities. So this is quite uncharacteristic for the three of us, to be honest. So we went around his bedsit, and we'd been sharing songs and demos together since we met up, and I think we were all skint, so we'd taken some beer or whatever it was we were drinking at that time, right at the flat, and Scott just pulled out his guitar and said, can I let you hear this tune that I've been working on? And he played this polk. I know Andy 9 times out of 10 hates being in a situation like that, but we felt so comfortable in each other's company that about like to even do something like that, that we weren't cringing. We were just like, I think Andy and I just sat there for maybe a minute after and just went, oh, well, that's, well, you said cunt in that, that's pretty good. But just that having that really, that like, I can vividly remember it. So I've got that, but then I've just got loads of stupid, like, on the train down to Brighton for the first kind of Fat Cat showcase. We both, first gig outside of Scotland we'd both ever done. We were getting the train with each other, and I think I'd made a packed lunch, or my mum had made a packed lunch, and they're like, what's in your packed lunch, and like, what's in your rolls? And I said butter, but I said it in a really, like, must I said it in a really stupid way? And they were like, oh, butter, butter, but. So that was my nickname from now on. People still call me Butter. So that's thanks to them that I have that. And just even stupid things like that, like, hey, like, what, my email address had Butter in it at one point, like my old Hotmail, and that was just because of them. So I've got like loads of wee things like that. When I was talking about the numbness, a wee bit of that comes from what happened, and I'm not one if, well, we can't escape that, and there's people need to talk about that to try and help other people, you know, and that's why Grant's out there, that's why he's doing that, and seeing how strong he is an inspiration to all of us. It's not something we wanted him to be an inspiration for, obviously, but looking at him and his family, it just blows my mind.
I know that you have been quite vocal now about emotion and showing this emotion and saying, well, fuck that, if you're going to cry, then cry. Yeah. It's.
I think that actually I just remembered that you saying, why did you keep yourself warm?
Yeah.
And I think that was what you're coming on to there is something that became very apparent and very important was, obviously, I'm quite an emotional person on stage. I obviously knew I was going to get emotional singing that song. So I knew what I was going to put myself through. And I think I did that because I'm not saying I was making any real rational decisions at those points, but it felt right. It felt like the right thing to do. If I was going to go up on a stage and sing one of Scott's songs and get emotional, it was a case of showing people that it was okay to be like that.
Yeah.
Some people haven't maybe been able to have the release that maybe, I don't know if I've had the release, but I've had, there's been things that have, get-togethers and things that have happened. I get to see Grant and hang about with Grant every week. I have releases that I can go and speak about things, and I also have the memories of like that song that we just played and stuff like that. Now, some people might not be able to have a release,
yeah,
or I've not had a place to go to or anything like that. Now, and I knew that everything was so very raw at that point, and that people would have been at those gigs that really loved Scott and loved his music and maybe hadn't listened to it at that point, and maybe were bottling some stuff up to not have that release. So I thought maybe this would be an opportunity for people to be in a place that they could see that there's a guy up there feeling it and letting it go. Not letting it go, letting it out. So
yeah.
So maybe I could give them that.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I don't know if it was, still is the right thing to do. It felt like the right thing to do when I was looking at people in the crowd and people wrote to me and told me. I still don't know if that's...
It's an amazing thing that you've done. It's been amazing. Even if you are helping one person, that old cliche, then yeah, it's, you know, that's one person.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, the one person that's helping is me.
Yeah.
And then if I can help anybody else, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But to be honest, in a selfish way to begin with, that's getting me through. That gets me through each day, mm-hmm, by doing stuff like this.
And people around you will be so thankful for that, though. Yeah. Yeah, so this is probably the most perfect song to finish with, Flaming Lips, Do You Realise? Which has got one of the greatest lyrics, in my opinion, which is, you realise the sun doesn't go down, it's just an illusion caused by the world spinning round, which is just absolutely perfect. Yeah.
I obviously been questioning life and death and what's important, the question why just keeps on coming up in my head, and this song is the epitome of the things don't really make sense, but look for the kind of beautiful things in life each day, because they are out there, sometimes quite hard to find, to see through the smoke. But I put this on, and even though it's got some of the most depressing lyrics in it at some points, they're just a reflection of while we're here.
Yeah.
Scott did a good song about while we're here, make tiny changes.
Yeah.
Also, while we're here, like, look at the beautiful things that are in front of you and the prospects, and look in the past as well. And this song raises all those questions and makes you question things and love things and regret things, you know, all the things that, it's just everything that I wish I could put into a song, that song does. And I've listened to Yoshimi quite a lot in the house, and I thought after what we were talking about, we were hitting some pretty heavy things all round there. It's quite a nice thing if people are listening to this to be able to listen to that as the last thing. And Jean.
But you and your lovely wife Hannah have brought in this beautiful boy into the world, and they must be your sole focus now, I guess, moving forward.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to look across the room and go, oh, holy shit.
I'm responsible.
Yeah, but I also find that really exciting to, that's the prospects of what are you going to be like. What
have you started playing music to him yet?
Yeah, I play. I actually play. Try and make him what he thought. But he's fallen asleep to Everybody Hurts by REM. Not really setting him up for non-depressing songs.
aye, that's the future, is looking at the future is different to what it was before. Like, looking into it now is like, it's like, not that I don't care about me, I care about me because then it'll help him.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Like, I'm excited to and nervous about making sure that there's I can pave the way for him to have a good life, you know.
Thank you.
No, well, it's my pleasure. Pretty sure I'm not pretty sure it's good for me, you know.
Yeah.
Like, again, selfishly.
No, that's important. And it's total honour for me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.